Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining our podcast. My name is Dan Landis. I'm a principal at Greenhass & Jenks and a leader of our media and advertising group. Today, I will be speaking with Adrian Ward, a senior director at Banc of California, who has a focus in the entertainment industry, and Dr. Francis Ellington, principal and state and local tax expert at Greenhass & Jenks. Our topic for today's podcast centers on opportunities that the CARES Act brings to entertainment entities, what is currently happening in the marketplace, in ways that we can help our existing and prospective clients. For my first, to kick things off, I'm going to start with Adrian over at Banc of California. And my first question is, given that the government has expanded the Payroll Protection Plan program and also the Economic Injury Disaster Loan program with additional funding, how are you preparing your clients who didn't quite make it through the first round? And what happens to their original applications? Are they automatically in the queue?
Yeah, good question. So really the big problem that every bank was dealing with along with the clients was that the first round of funding was so oversubscribed and that applications were still, as it turns out, applications were still being sent in when the money, the original $349 billion, was already allocated. So I think every bank, certainly ourselves included, experienced a large backlog. I think ours was probably about two-thirds of what we ultimately submitted were backlogged into the second round. I think at the time there was, there was obviously a lot of speculation in the media and elsewhere about how sort of this was working. But you have to remember that ultimately this was this entire plan was sort of conceived and put into action in a very short amount of time. Yes, it was originally quite light on detail, but I think they wanted to just open the doors and start getting things underway more than anything. And for the second round, they did a much better job. The SBA did a much better job in not only sort of catching up in terms of guidance, but then allocating money based on the size of the banks through which the people were applying. So rather than round one, where it was a bit of a scramble and it was every sort of bank for themselves, this time there was seemingly less pressure on all of the banks. So, our asset size is classified as small in that we're under $10 billion in assets. And so there was a good chunk of funding. I think it was $30 billion for banks in that size range. So we had more confidence, and so we could sort of act a little bit more in more detail when it came to sort of submitting applications, that we were going to have that funding available to our clients. And so, yes, there was obviously the backlog of applications was pushed through first, and then as new applications came in, we tacked them on to the end of it. And so as we sit here today, I think we're pretty much caught up in terms of getting everyone through from the first round, and then a bunch of people that applied for the second round. So it actually, it worked out rather well. And I think the way our CEO described it was, we were sort of building the car as we were driving it. Is a pretty good analogy as sort of, what it was like at first, but we ultimately got there.
Well, that's great to know. And then kind of to build on that question, with you kind of going over through this next round of the PPP and EIDL loans, how does your bank feel about the funding that's out here? And do you think that it'll be sufficient, or do you predict that there'll be additional rounds of funding as we move forward?
Yeah, I think I haven't, I was looking for some of the data on it, but I think there's still a good number of small businesses that, have not applied for either of those programs. And there's, there could be various reasons for that. So far, we haven't been told that the second round of PPP funding has actually run out. I know that they've used, as of a couple of days ago, they've used about $175 billion in round two on top of the 349 in round one. So that's obviously a substantial amount of money out there. But I have a feeling that if there is a round three, and I think some of the feedback we got from the SBA was that they would do it differently. It wouldn't be another PPP program. I don't know, you know, what, you know, whether that's going to be necessary or what that's going to look like. But obviously there's also the Main Street lending program too, which is slightly different, and that doesn't involve loan forgiveness and some of those other things that you get with PPP. But hopefully, you know, there's money, you know, when and if companies need it, depending on how much longer this whole thing goes on.
Well, I found that very interesting, and, you know, obviously very pertinent to what's going on. My final question, which is an entertainment question, you know, centers on, you know, production companies, and with substantially all production coming to a halt in the shelter-in-place directives due to COVID-19, the entertainment industry obviously has been hit exceptionally hard. And then from the banking side, you know, what has been your experience working with your customer base over the last few months, and what kind of guidance or advice have you been offering your clients as everybody works to figure everything out?
Yeah, so there's a few things, you know, outside of the PPP program that we've been, you know, kind of going through with people. And, you know, first and foremost, for existing clients, you know, we are offering a deferment plan, you know, assuming that people are in good standing. So then they may be able to defer, you know, to defer monthly payments. And I know, you know, a number of bank clients have been doing that. But with you know, specifically with regards to, you know, production companies especially, you know, I think by nature, independent film producers are pretty adaptable. And so a lot of them have actually been, you know, doing as much as can be expected in the circumstances to still move, you know, their projects forward. You know, we've been as active as we can be in terms of reaching out to producers and offering to run different financing scenarios in terms of, you know, modeling out what a loan may look like, depending on the types of collateral that they may end up bringing to the bank. And I think that's been very well received, because, you know, it gives them some sort of shape of what a deal may look like, subject to certain things coming into place. And I will say that on the, you know, on the sales side, you know, we've got a number of sales companies involved in these projects, and some that are clients that have actually been out making, you know, pre-sales. So, it, you know, it's obviously not as active as it in normal circumstances, but it's good that I think buyers are still, you know, looking for product probably more than ever the longer this time goes on. And then we've been engaging them in conversations about, you know, what's going to be different in terms of the, you know, the financing landscape after all this is over. You know, talking about, you know, we've talked to the bonding companies about, you know, they're going to be now putting in exclusions for, you know, COVID-19 and other pandemics. And so how, on a production basis, how they're going to get around those things, either with, you know, separate policies for that, or, you know, just taking a lot more, you know, precautions on the set and doing things differently, you know, like shorter shooting days and fewer people on the set, or whatever that's going to be. But it's actually been a very, you know, interesting time where people have been sort of coming together and looking at all these different options. And I think it's good, because it's, you know, it's making people rethink, you know, what their strategy and being a little more frugal about things. And I think the last thing is that we've had a lot more conversations about production shooting overseas, as, you know, certain territories around the world are probably going to get out of this lockdown long before, you know, the U.S. might, depending on how that plays out, you know, and how they might take advantage of shooting in those countries, obviously subject to the restrictions on travel and, you know, getting talent on a plane and that sort of thing. So it's actually been, you know, it's been pretty heartening that people are still very forward-looking and trying to get things, you know, off the ground.
Well, I like the positive outlook, and it's always really neat to see all the creativity. Now, kind of moving on to the next section, we're going to talk to Dr. Francis Ellington, our tax expert. So Francis, I feel like everyone's been talking about the PPP and the SBA loans, but there's so many other tax opportunities as part of the CARE Act. What are the most significant tax opportunities that can help our media and entertainment clients?
Yeah, of course. So just from a high level, I think from an income tax perspective, favorable changes to the interest expense deduction, as well as favorable modifications to the net operating loss provisions and excess business loss rules are going to be great for our clients and a lot of the media and entertainment companies. And this is an immediate benefit that could perhaps result from amending returns or perhaps an immediate reduction in 2019 income tax liability. In addition, there are some other incentives that are more favorable from a tax flow perspective, specifically related to payroll taxes. One incentive that we have been advising our clients a lot regarding is the employee retention credit, as well as an opportunity for deferral of payroll taxes. Now, again, each of these opportunities or credits has its own set of rules and nuances, but we definitely recommend exploring them to the extent that your operation or business entity may be able to take advantage of them.
Yeah, I mean, very interesting stuff. You talked about the payroll tax deferral and employee retention credit, which seem to be kind of some of the more popular tax opportunities. Is there any additional detail or provisions that you think are pertinent for anyone, the entertainment entity listening to this?
Yes, I mean, the first thing I would mention is that these payroll tax opportunities are really just relevant if they're not, the company isn't getting a payroll protection program loan because there are some limitations in that regarding. But provided that that isn't the case, the first thing I would like to talk about is the deferral of payroll tax. And this is very easy to accomplish. So working with the payroll tax provider, for example, like ADP or similar companies that may operate and file payroll tax returns, employees can just set themselves up to delay remitting the employer's share of payroll taxes. So that would be the Social Security amount of 6.2% of employee wages that an employer typically pays each period. So that deferral, that 6.2% deferral, you would be able to defer those for a while. So you would just required to be paid back 50% of that amount by December of 2021 and the remaining 50% by December of 2022. So essentially you're just delaying any payroll tax portion of that payment, but it ultimately will have to be paid. The second item related to the employee retention credit is a little more nuanced. Specifically, this is related to companies that are trying to retain their employees while at the same time they have either partially or fully suspended their operations or experienced a significant decline in gross receipts for this period in 2020 compared to their prior year in the same period. So the point is that they, in order to qualify for this, they would have to experience a significant reduction in income or gross receipts activity. And the way it works is that you look at employee wages. So the maximum amount of the payroll tax credit that is allowed is up to $10,000 in wages, and then it would be 50% of that would qualify. So it's essentially $5,000 per employee per the calendar year that would be allowed against any payroll taxes. And it's interesting because this credit is refundable. So even if, for example, you try to take the amount that based on the calculation and it exceeds the payroll tax that you pay for that period, then you can still get the money back from the federal government in the form of a refundable payroll tax credit. Again, this is a great program and can be quite beneficial for companies that are trying to retain employees during a period of shutdown or significant decline in income. So it's a great program.
Thanks so much, Frances. Obviously, very, very interesting and very important things. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to participate in this podcast and offer their valuable insights. As you can see, there are still many opportunities out there, many with their own complexities and nuances. Green Essence Jenks and at Bank of California, we're actively working around the clock to assist our clients through these challenging times and the impacts of the complex legislation. Please feel free to reach out to Adrian, Francis, or myself, or any of our other Green Essence Jenks Industry and CARES Act experts who have any questions or need any assistance. While Francis and my contact information can be found on the Green Essence Jenks website, I'm going to kick it back to Adrian one last time to discuss the best way for people on the call to contact him if they have any banking questions.
Yeah, I'm happy for people to be in touch. You can reach me by email. It's probably the best way at adrian.ward@bankofcal.com. And that's bank, B-A-N-C. And thank you for asking me to join.
Well, thank you. Couldn't thank both of you enough for helping us through this. And thanks again, everybody on the podcast for listening. And this concludes the podcast, and I hope everybody has a great day.